Ja, vsako leto je ideja, da bi manj delali, ampak seveda je pomembno delati ful, sem ne toliko, da se totalno izčrpaš.
Ampak letos ni delavnic, ne?
Ne.
Ko si ti to vprašala, ne, glede delavnic.
Ampak to pride iz tega, da nismo hoteli cel dan in cel noč da delati. Ampak seveda bi se dalo tudi organizirati kakšne delavnice sem. Ne vem, to je več dela, kot si predstavljaš.
Ker se tiče komunikacije s publikom, imate potem te plakate, pa a so še kakšni taki dogodki, da se lahko pa zainteresirane udeležijo?
Ma saj so neke debate noter in to je okrogle mize. In to je meni, ne vem, najboljša oblika participacije na takem festivalu. Jaz vem, da bo ta postporn introdukcija in diskusija seveda, mislim, to bo vsaj meni ful zanimljivo, to bo Tim Stutgen iz Berlina prihaja.
Preden se poglobiš v njegovo predavanje pa v to diskusijo, bi bilo mogoče fino, da predstavite neko to krovno temo, ki ste jo zasnovali za 10. obletnico.
Well, I think that the 10th anniversary of Rdeče zore is marking progress, of course, but also complications, because Rdeče zore is a festival that went from being pretty simply a women's festival, like putting focus on women's art in Metelkova, and it has developed into a much more complicated festival, which really doesn't give any simple answers to any of the questions which are concerning feministic and queer theory. But on the other hand, it's one of the few events in Ljubljana which is actually taking those questions seriously and offering the audience like pretty mind-blowing experiments and also artists, of course. And this year, one of the themes of the festival is going to be post-pornography or erotica, pornography, sex in general, which is in a way always a theme for feminism and queer. And it's also one of the themes where feminist and queer theory is clashing pretty hard, at least the older schools of feminism had really big problems with pornography. And I remember 2 years ago we showed one really great documentary on Rdeče zore, which was called Live Nude Girls Unite. It was a story about one young feminist who was working extra as a stripper in San Francisco and managed to organize the first union of strippers and fought for their work rights, I mean for holidays and non-discriminatory working conditions, etc. And her mother was a feminist of the second wave school, very famous anti-pornography feminist, and I remember this scene so well when they met and when she was about to tell her mother what she was doing as a day job besides being a feminist and a young woman, she was also a stripper. And this conflict between the mother and the daughter was unsolvable. They couldn't face each other, and that's how hot topic this has been for feminism, I think.
Vsaj ta drugi val feminizma je z pozicije tretjega ali pa zdaj četrtega vala je v bistvu zelo konzervativen, ne? Vsaj kar se tiče nekih spolnih praks. Tudi če je šlo recimo za spolno emancipacijo v 60-ih pa 70-ih, so bile v bistvu feministke na uni strani, ko so to bremzale na nek način. Ne?
And on the other hand, they were really afraid of queer sexuality and the things which are, I mean, now coming up as a bit hot topic. They were so focused on the private as something political, but in a way that they were, I think they were mostly afraid of mixing the cards, like losing questions, like some things economical and political power was so important, and if you start mixing with, I don't know, genders, or then I think they were afraid that you would get lost completely, or that you would...
Mogoče se v drugem valu šlo toliko bolj za neke pravice, ki so danes toliko samoumevne, da nekako ne bi več potrebovali tega boja za pravice, kot je, ne vem, po drugi strani se pa danes spet ta boj za, ne vem, enako plačeno delo, za 8-urni delovnik se ponovno spet vrača na agendo. Tako da zdaj vprašanje, kaj bo danes to pomenilo za feminizem tudi, ne? Ker dejansko, če so se drugi val se je boril, ne vem, za pravico do splava, pravico do kontracepcije, pravico do dela za ženske, se danes nekako spet vračamo k temu boju za te socialne pravice. Oziroma niso več samoumevne. Oziroma par let nazaj smo šli spet na ulice, zaradi tega, ker se nam hotel vzeti pravico do brezplačnega splava, recimo. Ne. Tako da tudi zdaj, kaj to pomeni? Po eni strani, ja, queer teorija kot tista, ki briše vse te meje, ampak hkrati pa očitno bo potrebno neko vračanje k nekim tem temeljnim feminističnim zahtevam. Neki te samoumevnosti, ki ni več samoumevna.
Yeah, and exactly that's why I'm happy that this is a festival which is political and not, I don't know, apolitical in the sense that we are just
having fun.
Saying that women are nice, let's promote women for 5 days. You know. That's something you can do, but it's not really opening these questions. But I think, just to mention something on what you're saying about feminism and going back to the boring work, let's say, of making statistics and finding ways to keep working for an equal and happier world. But I think that what changed from the 60s till today is that feminism is now much more aware of that some questions which are regarding women's situation in society are so related to similar questions which are regarding, I mean, for example, when we are looking at very classic feministic problem, danger, horror of trafficking women from poorer parts of the world to Europe and different ways of trying to stop that. This is for me a question which is really related to other kinds of work, immigration and other problems with workers' rights or the rights of immigrants within Europe and global, in the whole global sphere. So I think that all these questions are much more integrated today, that we have a possibility to use the tools that feminism developed for detecting power structures and applying them on other inequalities in our modern society.
Če se mogoče iz tega, kar si zdaj rekla, navežem na tudi stoletnico dneva žena oziroma na stoletnico obeležitve tega praznika kot državnega praznika, bi rekla to, da je dan žena hkrati v bistvu čisto iz istega razloga nastal, iz boja za delavske pravice. Za delavske pravice žensk, to je bil v bistvu socialistični praznik, ne, ki je v bistvu izhajal iz tega, da so se ženske borile za boljše delovne pogoje, za krajši delovni čas, za enako plačeno delo. Mislim, pred 100 leti in danes spet govorimo o istih vprašanjih.
Tudi takrat so se navezovali v bistvu, tako kot se že rekla, na neko splošno politično klimo in je to, čeprav se lahko razume kot nekaj partikularnega, se dejansko povezuje s nekim malo bolj globalnim političnim problemom. Ne? Za konkretno 10. obletnico Rdečih zor ob 100-letnici dneva žena, ne, me zanima, katere so tiste teme, katere so tisti dogodki, kjer mislite, da se bo vzpostavil ta diskurz ali pa dialog, kjer se bo recimo lahko ne sam zainteresirana feministična publika, ampak tudi generalno recimo ljudje, ki se srečujejo s socialno problematiko, na večjih nivojih identificirali s tem. Zdaj lahko govorimo ali o nekih teorijah oziroma teoretičnih diskusijah ali pa o samem nekem artističnem, v artistični produkciji.
Jaz bi najprej mogoče sam res poudarila pomembnost tega, da feminizem ni nekaj partikularnega, ampak je definitivno feminizem znotraj družbenega konteksta, znotraj zgodovinskega konteksta bran in to ni pač feministka, tukaj le imate vaše vprašanje, ukvarjate se s tem, to je vaš vrtiček, ampak je to znotraj celotnega konteksta družbe, politike nasploh. Ne? Mogoče bi kar povedala našo idejo oziroma strukturo tega 8. marca letošnje obletnice in sicer smo pripravljamo mimohod po Ljubljani in sicer kot neko obliko intervencije v mestni prostor. Zbrali se bomo na Prešernovem trgu, zdaj ne vem čisto točno, na katerih točkah se bomo potem ustavljali. In sicer preko tega mimohoda bomo na teh določenih točkah govorili, brali različne govore, politične govore, zgodovinske politične govore, poezijo, žensko poezijo, feministično poezijo. In sicer to bomo naredili v sodelovanju z Zavodom Emanat in pa ženskim pevskim zborom Kombinat. One bodo tudi ob tem pele revolucionarne pesmi. Tako da mislim, jaz mislim, da bo en tak pomemben dogodek, političen dogodek in umetniški dogodek tega vstopa v prostor in s tem hočemo tudi opozoriti na pomembnost tega delovanja v javnem prostoru, na ulicah in hkrati tudi se spomniti, zakaj sploh je, kaj sploh je 8. marec. Ne? 8. marec ni tisti dan, ko se spomne na to, da pa tudi ženske obstajajo, pa se nek nagel podari, pa se reče, danes ti ni treba kuhati. Ne? No, nočem biti pač nasramna, ampak pozabila se, kaj je 8. marec predstavljal.
Verjetno in s tem mimohodom in s celo to obeležitvijo stoletnice, mislim, da je glavni cilj nekak predstavljanja feminizma v pozitivni luči, predvsem pozitivnih učinkov feminizma, čeprav, kot ste že rekli, se stalno vračamo na te iste teme, ki obstajajo zaradi pač hierarhične in nepravične družbe tako v relaciji do žensko, v relaciji do splošne populacije, ampak gre za tu dejansko za neke te predstavljanje učinkov, ker velik problem nekako v splošni javnosti obstaja ravno zato, ker se feminizem razume kot nekaj, kar se tiče samo, kar dela jeznik bab, ne pa dejansko teh učinkov, da to, da recimo, da je neka ženska lahko samostojna in biva v skladu z svobodnimi odločitvami, da to je ta produkt stoletnega boja in ničesar drugega. Ne?
Ja, mislim, mogoče, da bi spet poudarila, koliko je to pomembno, da danes te pravice, za katere se je borilo skozi zgodovino, pravica do tega, da do volilne pravice, pravice do dela za ženske, da to je v bistvu bil boj. Pravice, ki jih danes imamo mogoče za samoumevne in ki jih tako zelo preveč nalahno spuščamo, vsak dan se nam kratijo socialne pravice. Jaz ne vidim množic na ulicah. Na to hočemo opozoriti. Da to, kar je bil plod zgodovinskega boja, je danes neka samoumevnost, na katero pozabljamo in hkrati pač... Ja, in pustimo, da gre mimo.
Torej, ok, če se vrnemo zdaj nazaj k programu.
Ja, potem temu mimohodu bo sledila okrogla miza, ki bo posvečena ravno tej obletnici 8. marca.
Kdo bo gost?
Gosti bojo Milica Antič-Kaber, Vida Dželak-Barič, Vesna Leskošek, Mojca Ramšak, Irena Siliškar. Upam, da nisem koga pozabila. Goste bojo predvsem govorile o tem, zakaj 8. marec, kaj je 8. marec predstavljal, kakšen zgodovinski spomin na 8. marec ostaja, kakšne interpretacije 8. marca, glede na to, da so različne interpretacije, kaj naj bi bil, kako je 8. marec nastal in tako.
Ok, so now it's up to me to present the queer part of the program, I think. Because I mean, this is... interesting in a way how these two things are constantly going almost in conflict with each other and still somehow intertwining and getting some energy from each other. I don't know, we've been criticized with this festival from friends and lovers and strangers so many times. Some people think that we are not queer enough, some people think that we are not feministic enough, some people think that there's too much of everything, some people think that there's too little of everything. For me, this queer, I mean, the way of thinking queer is really important in the sense of trying to imagine possible alternatives to gender stereotyping and social norms and normality, basically. The normality which is invisible and which is containing all the hidden power structures in society, as the way I understand it. And this is for me important, maybe extra important in a place like Metelkova, which is seeing itself as autonomous and alternative to the normal world, let's say, but of course it's containing, it's very rarely looking at itself in a critical way and criticizing the power structures and the norms, which are as present here as anywhere else, just that they are private, and this private sphere is so rarely, I don't know, dissected. A lot of people are basically afraid of asking themselves what is, how is all this mirrored in me, in my myself, in my sexuality, in the way that I'm acting with people, etc. This queer concept of border crossing, of transgression, basically, that you are finding taboos and fears in yourself and then crossing over them and releasing huge amounts of energy. The magic thing about sex and transgression, and also, of course, the very complicated thing, because there are so many things that can go wrong on the way. We live, of course, in a society which is very preoccupied with sex in many ways. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we are having more pleasure out of sex. And I think that the problem here, what to try to focus on and catch, is the objectification of the body through, the internet is providing a virtual explosion of pictures of people fucking in different positions. But you are basically just teaching yourself to watch bodies from the outside, and in a way objectifying yourself also, so that you're actually getting a kind of outside view of your own sexuality, which doesn't have, and in the meantime, the orgasmic power, the classic Reichen one, is pretty much about melting together with the body, that you lose this control and this outside view of yourself, that you actually, and for me this is pretty true, I mean, for me sex is maybe one of the few pleasures that I have which doesn't include watching yourself from the outside. Even though there's nobody actually filming you or controlling you, there is a presence of some kind of
brother.
Big brother, yeah, watching me generally all the time. So what I hope is that with this post-porn program, which is including film projection in Gromka on Saturday night and an introduction by Timi Stutgen alias Timi May Monigati, who will introduce this scene, which is pretty much, I think, a result of the fantastic internet revolution, which brought many bad things and a lot of good things too. So this is, I mean, to take power over pornography, to create a pornography which is not repetitive, banal and boring, basically. And of course it's also very deeply rooted in the DIY scene, that you are taking agency by producing yourself, your imaginations and fantasies. I mean, I've been watching a lot of porn the last month, especially here in the office.
It's nice.
Nice job, yeah. But I must say that it's surprising how hard it is, considering the amount of pornography that exists. I mean, and I even think that...
To find good pornography.
Yeah, to find good pornography is almost impossible. And maybe that's not only because I have a specific taste or something.
How many porn films or videos are you going to show during the festival?
It's really depending on the mail, because we we will see how fast the mail works from America these days. And Europe, I'm still waiting for some very important films that I would really like to show. We will show mostly short films. I think the long format is pretty tiring for watching in the public space, but we will show mostly shorts and maybe some longer film. And I want to say also that I also find it interesting to bring pornography back to the public space, actually, because pornographic films used to be shown in cinemas and people would go there, okay, sit alone, masturbate alone, maybe cruise a little bit, but it used to be a pretty public thing, this dirty sexual atmosphere. This introduction by Timi May Mogati, that's on Thursday No, on Friday at 6 in Gromke, Friday the 6th of March, I think. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, really going to be interesting. He's very good and he knows what he's talking about. And the films will be shown on Saturday also in Gromke from 6 to 9 or something like that. And then I would also recommend, I mean, now when we are talking about more theoretical and I mean, events where you can go to get confused, not enlightened. Liad Kantorovich, which is one queer activist from Israel. She's been invited by the Anarchistic Info Shop, and she's going to hold a lecture on the extremely interesting subject, which I will read now in Slovenian because I cannot remember the English title. Reprezentacija društvenih in političnih tabujev v pornografiji, primer bližnjega vzhoda. From concerts, I think that the concert on the opening night will be great. It's Alroch, German guitarist. Then we have Gustav, who didn't show up last year. We are hoping that she will come this time.
And maybe.
If she doesn't come, then Sherry Sunkist is on the same night, so it's a double concert. And on Saturday, Slatki Quartet will play in Mensa together with three gender-crossing performances, which will also, I mean, this Liad Kantorovich from Israel will do her part, Timi Meibogati will do his part, and there will also be a striptease from one woman from Barcelona who is exploring the art of striptease. And the same night, I think Saturday will be really a lot, but all of the things are recommended, of course. Then there's also a punk concert in Gromke with Žbuka from Zagreb and Agata from Germany, who are doing the more hardcore punk scene.
V nedeljo bo pa še potem ženski pevski zbor Kombinat zaključil večeru festival in tudi pač sam 8. marec. Pred tem bomo pa otvorili razstavo plakatov ob 100. dnevu žena. In sicer zaenkrat še vedno, oziroma podaljšali bomo rok zbiranja plakatov, tako da za vse zainteresirane imajo še časa en teden, da pošljajo svoje plakate. Razstavljeni bodo v Menzi, vem enkrat proti večeru ob 9. bodo otvorita ali ob 8. in najboljši nagrajeni.
Yay!
The program is now on the internet. I can't promote all these interesting events. It's a lot, as usual. There's also, of course, a lot of exhibitions and art. And Anna Grobler will talk about that.
Yeah.
But I like Luca Donini, who will have an exhibition in Galleria Photon opening on Friday. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yay.